Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
Highlanders 23, British and Irish and Lions 22. This morning it was a cracking game. Eddie O'Sullivan, really enjoyable game, really good game. What did you make of it, Eddie?
Yeah, it was a pretty intense game, and it was played in perfect conditions under a roof. You know, both sides really had a crack. So it was an entertaining game, a lot better than last weekend's game, which was basically a bit of a slugfest against Crusaders. So from entertainment point of view, it was a fine game. It could have gone either way up until the end, but I suppose you can't take away from the Highlanders. You know, they nicked it, but they probably, we wouldn't say they deserved it, but you couldn't begrudge them the win either the way they played.
Yeah, they were 22 points to 13 down at one point. Now, they're making the point in the commentary quite interestingly. It's the fastest pitch in New Zealand. It always makes for a good game.
Yeah, I think as well, it's probably not even the pitch. I think it's the conditions. You know, the roof is closed there and you're basically playing with a dry ball, no wind. So there's absolutely no reason not to go and throw the ball around. It almost invites you to do that. So from that perspective, I think a lot of games ever played at high tempo because conditions couldn't be any better for running rugby. You know, I think, look, I've been in New Zealand many times in the winter, and it's no different than Ireland on an average winter's day. You can get four seasons in one day, and you get that heavy rain coming in, or, you know, and even it's always, the pitches are wet, so you get that surface, and you get no wind. It's easy to play, and it was good that both sides cut loose a bit. And I must say, like as I said, it could have gone either way, but I think the Lions would like to have nicked it, but you know, the Highlanders came back. They were seen to be dead and buried, and you know, the Lions left the door ajar, and they took full advantage.
I get your overall sense of how the tour is going, of where Warren Gatland and the game plan is going in a moment, but to be parochial for the initial analysis, we had Rory Best playing, Ian Henderson playing, CJ Stander, Robbie Henshaw, Jared Payne and Jack McGrath today. Who stood out for you? Who played well? Who didn't do themselves any favours?
I suppose if you look at the Irish boys, as I say, I think looking at it from the top, I thought Jared Payne struggled a wee bit. He just didn't have a solid game. He did some good things, but he had some bad moments as well.
It's funny, like he will drop balls. Like there was one Galway moment for him where he just dropped a restart, I think. And
yeah.
It suddenly struck me, God, he'd done that. He did that a few times against England in Dublin as well. So that makes you wonder, well, to what extent can that be rust? Or maybe there's something in his technique. He seems to take the ball dead straight on. Maybe if he turns to the side, it's a bit easier to catch it. I don't know. Maybe it is just rust.
I don't know. A fella of his experience really shouldn't be fumbling a ball like that. You know, there's the pressure element to it. You know, it's a big game. But look, he's no rookie. He's been around the block.
Yeah.
It was disappointing. You know, they're the kind of things that stick out in a coach's mind. Because in a tight test game, you know, for example, you score, then you knock on, they score. You've just wiped out your advantage. You know, games are won and lost on those moments. And, you know, it's just things you don't want to see in a player's game at this time of the year when he needs to have everything buttoned up and laying down. And I just think the fact now he's probably ruled himself out of full back. Whether he can get into the centre is very doubtful.
Yeah.
He's probably made it difficult to pick him for the first test, I think.
Okay. So that's Payne. There's Henshaw, Stander, Henderson, Best.
Yeah. I thought Henshaw did well. You know, he was looking for an obstruction on the first Highlanders try, but I think he took himself out of the game the way he ran an up line. But I thought he had a good solid game. I think he's in with a shout in the middle of the field. I think it's a possibility he'll get in there if he doesn't go with Teo. But I have a feeling, look, Warren Gatland likes big, strong boys who can step. And Teo looked to have that edge last weekend. He caused a couple of problems. But I'd say at the same time, you know, there's going to be a discussion around that position. So I think Robbie's in with a shout. But I wouldn't be surprised if he goes with Teo because he's just a bigger guy. But I think he had a good game. I thought Rory Best did well. I mean, he's typical Rory Best, great work rate. You know, I think his lineup's been good. I think, you know, when that lineup went astray against the Blues, everyone thought, oh, here we go again, but it had nothing to do with him. You know, it was Kyle Sinclair who actually missed the lift. So Rory's been very solid. Having said that, I think, you know, Jamie George is probably going to get the nod at hooker, I think. You know, I think Gatland brought him on the tour for that reason. He brought him ahead of the England captain, so probably leaning in that direction. But I think Rory Best is there or thereabouts. Then I thought CJ Stander had a good solid game again, but I don't think he's the kind of guy who's going to really break into the back row. I think Toby Faletau is going to be the number 8.
Yeah.
I think Warburton is going to be in there, and I think after that it's either Sean O'Brien who will be the favourite, I think, possibly Peter O'Mahony because of his line-up prowess. Mm. But I think Stander has put in a good shift, played very hard, did his usual stuff, but I don't see him as, they would see him as somebody who's going to discommode the All Blacks for that reason.
Yeah.
And he probably loses out. And I thought Henderson really hasn't hit the straps yet, you know. He's really, like, we associate Henderson with, you know, quick feet, finding soft shoulders, getting behind defenders.
Right.
You know, he just hasn't hit the straps yet for
him. Is that right? Actually, because you're the first person I've seen make that point. The general consensus on the reports I've read, I didn't see all of the game or get to watch it terribly closely, was that Henderson had a great game.
Well, he had a workmanlike game, but I think when you play the All Blacks, you're going to be looking for guys who can change the dynamic of the game line, you know, who can find a soft shoulder. If you look at someone like Faletau,
yeah,
every time he gets the ball, he's getting in behind him. Not fully, they're not line breaks, but the ruck is 2 metres behind the contact area for the defence, and they have to regroup, and that ball's out and gone.
Mm.
And Henderson can do that. Like, that's my point. We've seen him do that. He has those feet. For a big guy, he's got very quick feet. And I suppose maybe there's an element there of the fact that he's starting in the second row. I'm not sure he's a top-end second row. I think he's a top-end back row. Look, he had an okay game in Scotland this year when we lost in Edinburgh.
Mm.
He played in the second row that day. I'm not sure it gives him his freedom to roam and do the things we like him to see him doing.
Okay.
So maybe that's part of the equation there for him, that he's in the front five and not the back five, if you know what I mean. It's a subtle difference.
Yeah, fair enough.
As a lock, you know, he doesn't have the same probably freedom to roam, you know, and maybe that affects him not getting into the game as much, getting his hands on the ball as much as he would like to. But I think the guys, looking at the test, I think the guys that really have locked themselves down, I suppose, are Conor Murray and Tadhg Furlong.
Yeah.
I think the guys in with a shout will be Robbie Henshaw. I think certainly Rory Best is a shout. And I think Sean O'Brien or O'Mahony, I don't see both of them getting in, but one of them I think will get in. Probably O'Brien, I think, has the edge at the moment. I think he had a big game the weekend. Saved almost a certain try, showed great pace getting back.
Okay.
And I think Warren Gatland likes the cut of his jib, the way he carries, the way he works, you know. So I think that's where we are.
If we follow that logic through, then you don't see Sexton starting, certainly.
No, not unless, like, his form changes dramatically. I think he's hasn't been 100%, and I think Farrell has. No, Farrell missed a howler today that would have won the game, actually, which is not his form, but look, I don't think Sexton has pushed Farrell out the 10 short, and I don't see Gatland playing a first and second 5-8 combination like Clive Woodward went in 2005. I think he's going to pick a 10, and I think Farrell has the edge there.
Did you not think they worked well together at the weekend?
They did okay on the weekend. If he's going for maybe first and second 5-8s, are going to kick the corners and stuff like that and pin them back. But there's a trade-off there, is that defensively, you know, it's a slightly different blend then in the middle of the field, and you have two playmakers rather than a playmaker and two potential strikers. So there are trade-offs along that line, and I don't think Gatland will go that line. I think he'll go with two big centres who he thinks can get him over the game line off one or two passes.
Mm.
That'll be his thinking. I'd be surprised if he goes down the route of a first and second 5-8. And I think for that to happen, maybe Johnny would have to be on fire with Farrell. Both of them, and I think if both of them aren't on fire, he's going to go with Farrell, as I suspect. But the problem is for Johnny is opportunity. The clock is ticking now.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, like Dan Biggar is going to be saying this as well. You know, he sees himself as a potential test 10,
mm.
and we've kind of hadn't put him into the equation at all. But Biggar's a very good player. Like he ticks a lot of boxes. He's a gutsy kind of a guy as well. And I don't think he'll start. I think he'll go with Farrell, but I think you shouldn't take Biggar out of the equation. He's
yeah,
got
he was
more.
Good today.
Yeah, he's very consistent, Biggar. I think he's one of the best kind of consistent tens in the championship last year, and he's really a leader for Wales. People don't see the leadership he brings to the Welsh team, but he brings a lot of leadership.
And
he's very gutsy.
What's off with Johnny, Eddie? If you had to put your finger on it,
I just think he seems at the moment that every time he's in heavy contact, it seems to take a lot out of him. He seems rattled in contact situations. It just, when he's in those big collisions, and he's hugely brave. He's not shirking anything, and maybe times should probably be a bit more sensible, but he goes flat into whether he's carrying the ball or whether he's he's making an attack and he's flat in there. But I think those contacts are taking a lot out of him at the moment. He seems to rattle him a bit. And I suppose the other thing is that if he had the back end of the season back, he might have played more rugby. Mm. He might have got more games under his belt at the back end of the Pro 12. I think maybe he was rested too much, and I think that affected his form on the run into the Pro 12 semi-final. And then when you lose your kind of your, it's like 2% off. But 2% at this level is a lot. And if you're 2% off at this time of the year, it's very hard to get that back.
Yeah.
And I think maybe he mightn't have played enough rugby. That's just speculation on my part.
Sure.
But if he had it back, he might have probably, you know, put his boots on a bit more often for Leinster and got out there and played more. Then he was rested quite a bit. And Leinster have that luxury of plenty of players. They don't have to put Johnny out every day and they still get results. But I just got a feeling he really wasn't hitting the straps at the end of the season, which would have been his plan, you know.
For whatever reason, he hasn't.
I don't think anyone, it's not beating him up on him. I don't think anyone could argue he's on top of his game at the moment.
Sure, yeah. What about the shape of this tour then, generally? Some defeats, two defeats obviously in there, that very good win at the weekend, and they keep the Crusaders, was it 3 points off the top of my head? But, you know, the defence looked very, very good. And, you know, you're seeing a midweek side develop in broad terms, and you're seeing a test side develop in broad terms, and certainly the weekend looked good. Two defeats, nobody will remember that in 2 years' time if the tests go well. What's your sense from afar about the momentum on this tour, the game plan on this tour, where they're headed? Are you more optimistic, less optimistic? Give us your overall sense.
Well, I'm more optimistic after last weekend. I thought the win over the Crusaders was crucial to the tour. I think had the Crusaders put them to the sword, even in a tight game, if people were saying, oh, they don't have to win, but I think they needed to get a win against Crusaders. And I think this morning doesn't matter too much. You know, I don't think that's a big deal. It'd be better if they won, but I don't think it takes all the momentum away. I think what you've seen last Saturday is you saw what Gatland would be looking at towards. This is what he thinks is his test side.
Yeah.
Against Crusaders. And if you think about it, they're the strongest franchise, probably the best time to run your test side. I think he'd be going along the same lines next weekend. I don't see too many changes from last Saturday going into the Maori game. And I think you're looking at the test side on the Saturday. There's always room for adjustment, but I don't think that's major strategic. I think the nature of the way they won the game is the blueprint now that they will try and replicate again against the Maoris and into the test. And the blueprint is a very European style of rugby, which doesn't suit the All Blacks to play against if you can impose that game plan. And the game plan we saw was a very strong kicking game, pinning them back, winning territory, winning possession, pressure at the set piece, and also very quick line speed and very good work rate in defence. Mm. So I think if you take those four things, you know, this very solid scrum, putting huge pressure on, very solid line-out, and then Alan Wynne-Jones, that was outstanding at the line-out last weekend. He's world-class line-out operator, and he had a very good game around the field as well.
Mm.
So I think, you know, domination at the set piece, then with the ball, playing in the opposition part of the field, not mucking around your own half, making them turn, any kicks hitting grass rather than into anybody's breadbasket, so they can't counterattack or they have to struggle to counterattack. And then defensively, which those opportunities give you if you kick well, is getting off the line and knocking people behind the game line and getting up on the outside corners so they don't get those long passes into the outside channels. I think that's the blueprint.
Yeah.
I think they imposed it on the Crusaders. I think they will try and do the same next weekend against the Maoris, and if they can do it two Saturdays in a row, I think now the All Blacks will get a little bit edgy, because right, if they do that to the All Blacks, they can nick the first test. If they nick the first test, they're in the driving seat.
Mm.
So it's not, the whole thing like is not a far away. If certain things fall their way, fall in the right way for them, I think, you know, suddenly they could go in and win the first test, and that changes everything. Then the All Blacks are under phenomenal pressure. I mean, no wriggle room left.
Mm.
And people then forget that they lost to the Highlanders. You're dead right.
Yeah. Not that it's of any importance, but I can't say I'm looking forward to watching that game then at the weekend, because last week was miserable. It was hard not to fall asleep at times.
Well, the interesting thing would be is that would the Maoris be able to deal with that? Like, the Maoris should know what's coming.
Mm.
And will they be able to deal with it? And if psychologically, if the Maoris deal with that and win the game,
yeah,
manage to create a counter-attack from the kicks, get on the front foot, find ways through that press defence that they're coming up with, A lot of teams are trying to go around that press defence. The way to beat that is to spread it out and go through it. So if they figure that out and the Lions get caught, like they leak three or four tries, now they're given a blueprint to the All Blacks the following week how to beat that.
Yeah.
And now the Lions have to maybe go back and recalibrate somehow. So it's intriguing from that perspective that we are teams are setting out their stall at the moment and the Lions are setting out their stall. And I think the Lions won't care, you know, if people fall asleep at the test games as long as they get the results. They don't see it as well entertainment. This is a historic event. If they can come out the far side of this and win a test series, people will talk about the test series, not how it was won.
Absolutely.
Sure, that's not going to be up for discussion. But I think they're happy in their skin the way they saw off comfortably the best franchise in New Zealand. That would be the blueprint, I think, for next weekend. And if it works again next weekend, I think they're going into the first test in a great space mentally that they can do the same to the All Blacks. And that could be the turning of the tour.
Yeah, it's very interesting. It does make this game on Saturday so important. It's either a psychological hammer blow for everybody as they realise, God, we're going to have to come up with something else if we're going to have any chance against New Zealand. Or if they follow up what they did against the Crusaders, similar performance, similar result, then you can kind of, you can feel the momentum. You can see everyone sitting around in that team room going, do you know what? It's not going to be easy, clearly, but we have a plan here that's going to be effective.
Well, the thing to remember about these test games is that, great saying, that they have any bones in their backside as we have.
Yeah.
So you can almost give them too much respect and too much almost, you know, adulation that they're this great team. But they have as many bones in their backside as we have. You get stuck into them with the right game plan, stop them doing the things they like doing, as we saw they did with the Crusaders, and then, you know, it's a game, it's a test game. And that's where they'll be. So I sensed that Warren Gatland was disappointed that they should have closed the game out.
Yeah.
You know, they definitely should have closed the game out at 22-13. You know, they didn't do the job. And they can take a bit of criticism for that. But I saw that as guys probably ruining themselves out the test side rather than, you know, more than anything. Like, because the previous Saturday, they closed the game out. And I think that's why guys are beginning to feel this is the test side and that's the dirt trackers that play today. But you're right, that does give the Saturday team this kind of headset and this momentum that, look, there's certain things we've got to get done, but if we get them done, it's game on. And that's all you want in a test series in New Zealand, a shot to win it, you know. And then you've got to take it on the day. But believe it or not, if you win and the New Zealanders start to believe you have a shot, then they get the pressure rolls onto them. So it's psychologically, there's a lot to play for next weekend. Because the Lions double down with a comfortable win over the Maoris, doing the same things, then I think the die is cast. The All Blacks are going to feel the pressure building the following week.
Okay, very good. Eddie, thanks a million. Great stuff.
Cheers.
Cheers. Eddie O'Sullivan there with his thoughts on the Lions thus far. I should tell you, 18 minutes gone in the Stade de France and Harry Kane has opened the scoring for England, so they lead by 1-0. Olivier Giroud's had a goal ruled out for offside. It was a beautiful volley, so he'll be sickened, but ruled out for offside it was. So 1-0 to England, Harry Kane after 17 minutes. I should mention just before we go to the break, Off the Ball is bringing you a night of Lions legends on Thursday, 29th of June at the RDS. And we have some brilliant guests for you. Willie John McBride is going to be there, which will be brilliant. We have Kieran Fitzgerald there. We have Keith Wood there. We have Nick Popplewell there, who was one of just two Irishmen picked on the 93 Lions tour. Just Popplewell and Mick Galway were the only two Irishmen who went to New Zealand back in 93. Shows how things have changed. So he'll be there. Luke Fitzgerald will be there. Malcolm O'Kelly. Fergus Slattery, who was epically good in the 74 tour of South Africa, will be there. And David Wallace as well. And some brilliant prizes for you to win, including a holiday to New Zealand, tickets to all of Ireland's home rugby games next season, and a trip to Twickenham for England versus Ireland on St. Patrick's Day next year as well. So not bad. Get your early bird tickets now at newstalk.com/Lions Legends. So that'll be at the RDS on June 29th, which is a Thursday. Should be a good show. Take a short break. We'll be back with Kieran McGeehan in studio before the show finishes at 9.
Off the Ball on News Talk. Thanks to AIR. Win GAA Football All-Ireland Championship match tickets at air.ie/GAA.